is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Second Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read the first 10 verses. 2 Timothy 4:1-10. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day, and not to me only, but also, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the reading of Your word, the good song selection this evening, the spirit that exists among Your people here, and for what You plan to do in our midst here tonight, as long as I don't get in the way. And so I pray that You would give me the right things to say, and in the way that You want them said, and that I might hold back on some of the things that I may like to say, but would be detrimental to what You want done in our lives here tonight. We're just thankful for each and every person here who paid attention to all the songs that we played here tonight. They had great messages. And if a person was here and lost, they could easily see their need for salvation. And I pray that that would be so. If we could go around this room and ask people individually about their salvation. And I would pray that most would be able to give some clarity to their salvation experience. But there may be some that cannot do that. And there's a reason for that, because they're lost. And it's not that they don't know anything after they're saved. There's plenty that we don't know when we first got saved. But Father, they just don't have, they don't have it. And so we would ask that You move upon their hearts, especially because the message is to we who are saved. Speak to the very things that You want to be spoken to, because we have spiritual needs. We know that You can fill those, and only You can fill them through this book here. Speak to our hearts, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, there's a lot of things to, in this little 10 verses here. I was talking to Brandon about what chapter 4 was dealing with. Most of the time when we leave here, we are out of season. In other words, you're probably prepared to deal with a lot of issues that come up here in church, but although I don't know that we take advantage of them. But when we leave here, we're usually blindsided, and we're caught off guard. And the Scripture says, in season, out of season, we should be ready to preach the Word. And out of season are not convenient times. And so we need to know what it says. We need to understand why we need to be ready and take advantage of that. In verse 3, I have in my Bible a little circle around, for the time will come, and I put the time has come. because we're living in that day when people, books in the library, preachers in churches, schools, colleges, do not want anything to do with doctrine. They can't stand it. They want something else. They want to be entertained. They want programs. They want anything that will substitute for the truth of God's word. And so what do? They get people in pulpits and teaching and all this that have the itching ears. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You were so brilliant this morning. And guess what? They turn away. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth. All right, all that, to me, all of that's here. And we have to deal with that. But my verse that I want to center on, and then another one later, is in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, this word course is a very interesting word. I want you to go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, the writer of the book of 2 Timothy is also the speaker in Acts chapter 20, Paul, the Apostle Paul, and beginning here in verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It also occurs in chapter 13, verse 25, when it's speaking about historically John the Baptist. But the course has to do with the race. Your particular race. This is not a competitive race like in Hebrews chapter 12. This is the race that God has given you to walk and to run. Or we could say the career, really, that God has placed your life to be in. And with Paul, he was saying, look, the very things that you gave me to do, I have done. And I might finish my course with joy. And then, of course, in 2 Timothy, that he had kept the faith. And he had finished his course. So he understood he was not going to be around much longer on this earth. And everything that the Lord set before him, he did. But then down in verse 10, we read, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. So I'm looking at two different characters here. Here's Paul. He said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And here's Demas, who took the easy way. And what did he do? He did the very easy thing. Paul had done the hard thing. And he's instructing Timothy to do the right thing, even if it was a hard thing to do. Anything profitable usually takes effort. If everything was easy, none of us would gain anything by that. And we're seeing the fruit of making everything easy. I was telling Joyce that if I was the man that said that he had pancreatic cancer, I would have wanted to know what stage I am in. I want to deal with a number. Am I in 3, 2, 4? What? I'm not satisfied just that I have that. When I had the prostate cancer, then I was at stage 2 and of 4. And the Gleason mark was 7. Well, the Gleason mark was up. I was right in the middle, sort of. And so I knew, okay, what are my options here? So I'm more of a numbers person in that respect. And I need to know certain things, and I need to know about certain things all the time. So here's really the reason for the message. We have the Apostle Paul, who I don't think in our lifetime we could ever even touch as to the things he accomplished for the Lord. But that was his course. That was his race. That was his career. He didn't give me that same race or career, and he didn't give you that same one, or we'd all be all over the world doing the exact same thing. He didn't make everybody a missionary. He didn't make everybody full-time Christian workers. He didn't make everybody pastors and teachers and things like this. So understand, wherever you are, you should be familiar with what he has given you to do and finish the course. And in doing that, keep the faith, even if it's hard to do, because it's not always easy. And so that's what I want to deal with. Easy is not always right. Right. It's a play on words there. Okay. So let me start with this. It is easy to, number one, to never start serving the Lord than it is to serve him. That's the easiest way out, isn't it? Not to even begin. You know everything. You profess to be saved. You may not be. It's not my call, but let's say you are. But you say, no, I'm not having anything to do with serving the Lord. It's easier to do that than to actually start serving him. Number two, it's easier to stop serving him and walk away than it is to keep on living and serving him. I mean, there comes a point where the discouragement or the circumstances can cause you to say, okay, I'm done here. And you just stop and you walk away. I'm not going to serve you any longer. Or number three, it's much easier to step back than it is to step forward. It just is. Paul finished his course. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 17, turn there if you would. John chapter 17, this is the high priestly prayer. This is really the Lord's Prayer as opposed to Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And so in that prayer, he's saying, you know what? I've finished my course here. And on the cross, what was one of the last things he said? It is finished. What's finished? It is finished, the work that he was sent here to do. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He made the atonement for our sins. He paid the debt in full. That's why he came. And he did it, being the only one that could do that. Think of what life would be like if the Lord did the easy thing that most people are prone to do. Or in the garden, in as he was praying before the all-night trials, he said, I don't really want to do your will. He said, you know, if there's any way I cannot do this. And then he said, what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He took the hard way. And think of what happened because of that. Demas and countless others throughout all of church history have walked away. There are plenty of people that I've known over the years that I've been saved, the years that I've been privileged to pastor, that have walked away, just gone, like the wind blowing the chaff. That's it. They're done. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, a familiar passage to all of us, talking about when you feel like your life is spent in a particular area. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The very time that you entertain those thoughts, then just wait on the Lord and let him do his work. Let him renew your strength. It's kind of like Lamentations in chapter 3, in verse 22 and 25, and it talks about the Lord's mercies being new every morning. You know, years ago I used to go down to the river in March and in November, because in March and November there was enough moisture in the air that the sunrises gave pastel colors to them. It wasn't, there was humidity and everything was not just so vividly you can't even look at it. Every sunrise that I went to was different. The Lord's mercies are like that. Every day. They're new. Brand new. The old mercies aren't, you know, necessary. We need new mercies. But hey, listen, let's be practical here, and I want to be practical. It's always been easy to walk away when you love the world. And we know from 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So it's very easy to, you know, have one foot serving the Lord and the other foot in the world. That's not the way to do it. All right, number two, it's easier to crush something than it is to build something. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And by crushing, I'm talking about to break something apart, smash it, destroy it, anything like that. It's always been easier to do something like that than to build something. Another thought. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Paul, when he was Saul, did as much against the truth as he possibly could. I mean, he was sold out to destroy this sect that had come on the scene, that was following this troublemaker, Christ, who, of course, had rose from the dead. Now go down to verse 21. Afterwards, you can read the difference there in between. I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. So this was a little bit more difficult than the first work. The destruction was easy. He had letters from Jerusalem, and he was going out. He was beating people, hauling them off to prison, probably murdering some. And now here he's saved, and now he's preaching the very thing that he opposed. You think that's easy? It's not easy. It's easier to destroy your health than it is to build it. Listen, when we talk about destroying something, it's much easier to do that than it is to build something. And I want to tie these two together, because you have to exert energy and work to make it worthwhile. You just have to. Let me keep going. The application, and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The application in 2 Timothy relating to I'm putting an application to an athlete, but the actual verse has to do, the section has to do with the soldier. But the soldier and the athlete really are two of the same kind if you want to accomplish anything as an athlete. I watch what happens in athletic things today, and I think, you know, what you're doing is nothing compared to what we read here in Scripture, or how I knew it. You can't do something and master it if you destroy it right after you do it. And I mean, I'll elaborate on that. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Listen, when I played ball, it would have been far easier for me and everybody that was with us to just pick up a baseball and go out on the field and play. I mean, far easier than to go through the torture of being with a track coach for 2 weeks and doing all the track exercises as well as the wind sprints that we would do in baseball, and getting into shape and staying in shape. Far easier just to, hey, look at here, let's play baseball. Let's get 8-9 guys together, and you get 9 guys together, and we'll just play. That's easy. I mean, it's easy to do. But if you want to accomplish something that's going to last, then you need to exert some energy. It's hard. So it's easier to destroy your health than it is to build it. Put the thoughts in parallel with what I'm saying. It is so much easier for me to let myself go than to pay attention to what's going on and change it and work toward something that's more beneficial. Not just for me, but since I'm here, but for you. And you, of course, in a home situation for your wife or your husband or your children or your parents, much easier to let yourself go than to take the time, put it to good use, and do the right things. Listen, it's easier to eat out than it is to eat in. Now, we didn't do that years ago. We were finding we're doing it more because it's easier to do. But we've got to count the cost to our bodies while we do that. There are people that I know. Here's a man that's very sick, very sick, that doesn't eat meals at home, ever. And if you're familiar with restaurant food, then you know that it's not profitable. You can eat a Big Mac and get 2 days' worth of calories. And what are you going to do with those? Where are they going to go? What benefit are we going to get from that other than it tastes good? Linda says if it doesn't have fat, then it's not good. No fat, no flavor. Okay? At what cost? Because there is a cost. And if we take the easy way out, then we pay the price. Here we go. Sowing and reaping. Right? I mean, come on. It's just a logical thing. It's so much easier to undo what you spent countless hours in building your health. And oftentimes it's accompanied with, well, it's no use. Really? Are you serious? It's no use? How did we get there? How could anybody get there? When you see some of these people that they advertise that are 600, 700, 800 pounds, how did they get there? You know how they got there? It's no use. And it was far easier to just do things and destroy them. No restraint. Listen, we are a people, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that are supposed to be self-disciplined. And we need to be that, but it's easier. And I'm not talking to you with not me in the picture. I'm talking to me as well. It's so much easier not to take the time to build our lives as best we can. It's not a cure-all, because when the Lord wants you, He wants you. There are plenty of fit people and healthy people that the Lord has taken home, hasn't He? Yes. And have had strokes and everything else. Of course that. All right. Number 3. It's easier to destroy your home than it is to build it. Proverbs chapter 14 speaks about the wife, the mother, but I think there's more of an application beyond that. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So much easier not to build it. So much harder to build it. In anything, it's so much harder to build a church than it is to destroy it. Than it is to destroy it. It's very easy to destroy it. Or our lives. Anything like that. Likewise, it's easier to be a fool than it is to be wise. It's much easier to compromise than to stand true. It's much easier to destroy holiness than it is to build it in your life and keep it. Ephesians chapter 4. You may think this is an odd verse to do this with, and it probably is, but hopefully you'll see what I'm talking about. It is easier for you to seek things for yourself than it is for anyone else. 4:28, chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. When we lived in Hollywood, there was a family across the street from us, had two daughters. The one was talking about getting married. She had a fiance, and I was doing some work on the house, and she was over. They went to another church. She maintained she was saved and so forth. And she was a smoker, a young girl. And I addressed her this way. I said, "What are you doing to your potential husband?" She says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Do you think that what you're doing is going to build your life and your relationship with him? Does he smoke?" "No." I said, "Do you want to spend a full life with him?" "Yes." "Well, do you realize that every cigarette takes like 2 or 3 minutes off your life? So what you're doing, you're really cheating him out of yourself. Is that what you want?" She didn't like that. Well, most people that are, when you address things like that, don't. But look, let him that stole steal no more. There's a variety of things that can apply to. It's not just, here's a little pencil laying around. Church has plenty of those things. I'll just take it and put it in my pocket. It's not talking just about that, but about cheating people in life of each other. And we don't want to do that. But it's easier to do that, isn't it? Yes. It takes more labor, it takes more discipline and more restraint to live within your means so that you're able to give tithes and offerings, so that you're able to give to the special needs of other people. I am so glad we have a deacon's fund in here. And the reason being that hopefully we have enough to take care of when there's needs of our people in this church. That's what it was set up to do. And by living within your means to pay your debts so that you control your debts, they don't control you. The fellow across the street, I talked to him years ago, and he hadn't been to church in 12 or 13 years. That's probably 12 or 13 years ago. So he still hasn't gone to church. And he said, "Well, if you had a $1,300 a month mortgage, you wouldn't go to church either." And I wasn't going to get into that, because that's the course of life that he chose to take when he was serving the money. The money ruled rather than you ruling the money. So isn't it easier when you have things that you're able to give to other people? That some of what you give goes to those people, but it's so much easier to look out for you rather than other people. It just is. We need to be a people that listen. If we're going to be thinking of other people rather than ourselves, it takes more listening for you to discover the needs of other people. If you don't listen to people, if you don't want anything to do with people, you know, you're fitting, this is where you are. I'm taking the easy road out. I don't want to get mixed up with this. Okay, that's where you are. That's where you are. It takes more looking to understand what's going on. Take that mirror that's right in front of your nose. That you just can't see anything or anyone but you. Take it down. But it's so much easier to look at me. We were sitting in graduation when Frank was graduating. Linda's sitting next to this girl, and she's got the phone out there, and she's this way and that way and this way and that way. Everything was about her. What's going on? I'm just in another location to photograph me. That's all that is. Come on. We need to see what's happening all around us. It takes more love to be able to deal with the needs of other people. It's harder, but it's also more blessed. Well, maybe. Yes, Acts chapter 20. Same chapter we were in a little while ago. Paul was talking about not counting his life dear and so forth. Then over in verse 35, same chapter, Acts 20, 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the work, the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What did Paul do when he went into a town? As a missionary. He worked. He didn't walk in and said, okay, I'm going to start a church here. I need some people to get together and start funding me and so forth. No, he worked. And by working, he did exactly what he said there. You know, this is how I was. I didn't become a burden to you. And by working, I had the ability to help other people. In addition to helping you insofar as the church is concerned. It's so much different the way we do things today. I deplore this missionary system oftentimes. And just the way everything is geared so that you go out and you raise money. America pays for the missions of the world. And when you live in a country of your birth, why can't you work and start a church? Why does somebody have to keep bankrolling you? But our government bankrolls people, don't they? And don't we pay them not to work? We pay farmers not to farm. Farmers' land sometimes just lay dormant, and they get money for it from Big Daddy government. And if you're getting the same amount of money that you would have got if you raised those crops, why would you do it? Or sometimes more. There's a prostitute in Cocoa that had four children and was getting pregnant again and again. You know why? She's getting $200 for each child. The government was going to pay her $200 for each child. So why would she need to have an honest job? Where was she going to get $800, $1,200? She just gets it from the government. So look, there are things that are harder, but again, they're more beneficial, they're more blessed. But you have to get out of your comfort zone that it's all about me, and I don't see anything else that's going on here. I stand before you, and I see things that nobody else sees. So why? No, you don't see it. I cover it up pretty good. No, you don't. If you're a reader of people, you don't cover it up. Some of you are so blatantly readable. I need to put a camera up here. He's got the camera there. Put that camera on all the people when I say that and see the reaction. It's just, and what I can't see, the Lord sees. All right? James chapter 1. I thought I'd be done by now. James chapter 1. You're probably hoping I was done by now. James chapter 1. It is easier to speak than it is to listen. James chapter 1, and look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, and who are they? Well, they were members of the 12 tribes, people of the 12 tribes scattered abroad, Jewish believers. Who are they today? You and me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, fast, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. How come we turn that around? How come we're slow to hear, and quick to speak, and quick to wrath? Where did you redefine that, retranslate that? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I speak for all of us. We need to listen more. We need to listen to the Lord as we read and as we study and as we meditate and as we apply. I don't think you can let go of any one of those things to be successful. And that takes work. Read. You need a time. Study. You need another time. Meditate. You need another time. And then you need the time to apply it. If you don't do it, one of those four, you're taking the easy way out. You can gain things from here, but this should be the motivation to have you do more. We need to listen more to the lost. What do you mean? Not to their counsel. What counsel do they have to tell me? Or their criticism of God or His people and what we stand for. But their cries. Their emptiness. We need to listen and look and see the emptiness that's in their lives, and they don't know what to do about it. And we can reach them. But it's not easy. We need to listen to the Lord's people, to each other, to our loved ones, to our young ones, to our older ones. We need to listen to what's going on. And to listen means you've got to become involved. It's always easier to stay at a distance than to get involved and help. Always. Last one. I've got a series of verses here. I might have to read some of these. It's easier to sit down than it is to stand up. In Luke chapter 22, the Lord had been taken by the Pharisees, the soldiers. He was taken into the place where he's going to be examined and tortured and beaten and so forth. And the people were standing outside and they were warming their hands by the fire. And guess who came along and sat down at the wrong fire? Simon Peter. And the girl said, I know you. You're one of those that were with the man that's inside. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. That was an easy thing to do, wasn't it? Because if he admitted, he would have gotten in trouble. Oh, we don't want to get in trouble, so we don't admit to the truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look down here in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. And once you put it on, you don't take it off. That you may, like the Mormons, with their holy underwear. But their holy underwear doesn't suffice anything spiritual. But the whole armor of God is everything we need to defend ourselves and to go on the offense. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. But it's so much easier to sit, but it's more spiritually profitable to stand. You want the devil to win? Sit down. You want the devil to lose? Stand up. You want the false religionists to win? Sit down. You want them to lose? Stand up. For the truth. One more, Revelation 6. Revelation chapter 6. This is in the tribulation period. There are a number of seals that are being opened. And in chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. And verse 17, For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There's coming a time when it's going to be too late to stand. Too late. Too late. And you've taken the easy way. In all that I spoke here, you're taking the easy way out, like Demas, who loved this present world. And really, that's part of the trigger here to all of this, who love ourselves so much more than we love the Lord and the Lord's work and the Lord's people and everything about the Lord. And so we take that easy way. And in tribulation, these people who are the product, they're lost people of the easy way, suddenly find there's no way to even stand anymore. It's harder to be involved in the work of the Lord in dealing with spiritual warfare. And so what do? We take the easy way. Remember when the Philistines came and Goliath was the big man and challenged the Israelites and they couldn't send anybody out. Everybody was petrified of him. And so David offered to go. And he said, I'll stand up against him, you know, and he used the phrase, is there not a cause? And so they sent David. What about everybody else? What did everybody else do? They let him. They let a young teenage boy go in and fight a 9-foot giant. Now, that's real love, isn't it? That's real concern. They took the easy road out, the easy way. David took the hard way and won. So you figure out which is better. Do the right thing. Not the easy thing. Even if it's hard to do, it's always more profitable. I mean, we have to search our soul. We have to search everything about ourselves and see, all right, what have I done? What have I walked away from that I used to do? Because it wasn't easy to do anymore. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But they're not all easy. But yet, easy is not always the right thing. Let's pray. You bow your heads tonight. Close your eyes. Hopefully allow the Lord to examine your heart. What does He see? Does He see somebody that at one time in life trusted Christ as Savior, loved the Lord, served the Lord, and then walked away? Do you see somebody who is saved but never, ever came to the place that they want to serve the Lord, live for Him? Because the easy way rules. I don't know. I have no idea where we are here tonight or why I went this direction. But I do know that we need to examine our hearts. Not as me being critical of anything about you or even myself, but it just for self-examination purposes, and resolve, predetermine, we're going to do the right thing. It's worth it. It's always been worth it. It always will be worth it. Song says it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Definitely. But not for the easy things. It won't be worth it. It really won't. Because we've taken the easy way out on all these things. Many more that we never even discussed. If you're here this evening without Christ as Savior, and you've heard the truth, and yet you refuse to come to Him, you're, in your mind, I'm taking the easy way out. I don't need to do this. When in reality, eternity will be very harsh because of your decision not to do something which you may look at as really being hard. It's not hard at all. It's an acknowledging of the truth of your spiritual condition and coming to Christ. Whatever the Lord's saying here tonight, I would just pray that we as a people would get a hold of ourselves and see what we're doing and what we're not doing. And make the necessary changes, because that would be good for all of us. Father, have your way in this invitation. I'm thankful that we are a people that have come together because of Christ, because of His Word, because of the love most of us have for each other, and we have toward You. We know that You have never wanted anything less than the best from us. Solomon said in Proverbs, "My son, give me thine heart." I know that's what You expect of us. Because if we give You our heart, we've given You everything. And we'll do whatever is necessary, no matter how hard it is, how time-consuming it is to do the right thing and not the easy thing. Speak to our hearts, for we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.